For today's public reading of God's Word, please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. We're going to be reading verses 17 through 24. God's Word. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written down in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are your eyes, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Now there's a whole lot of stuff here to cover, and let's see if we can do it in a good fashion of time. The first thing, verses 17 to verse 20, the 70 return back to the Lord on their missionary endeavor. Just like he sent out the 12 two by two, on this occasion he sends out the 70 two by two. So here we see that Jesus did have a sizable following around him. Most people associate Jesus with the 12 and the 12 only. Well, here we see the 70 are sent out. Now, were the 12 part of the 70, or was the 70 a separate group from the 12? Okay, I don't know, and I don't want to venture and go beyond the limits of my understanding and add to God's word, or to be guilty in subtracting to his word. But that would be a good study. Is the 12 included in the 70, or is this group separate and distinct from the 12? They come back, and beloved, they're happy. They're rejoicing. Even the devils are subject to us through your name. Now, I think this is quite interesting in light of what goes on today in many churches. All of the prosperity preaching, the holiness movement, signs, wonders, and miracles with people casting out devils, and they're running around in the church, flapping like birds, barking like dogs. Glued to the walls with this hysterical laughter that doesn't seem to end. All of the shenanigans that is going on, I find this interesting. They come back saying, even the demons and devils obey us. And then God, Jesus tells them, oh well, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And then he says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Am I to take that literally? That's what some people would insist. Those of our brothers and sisters that demand a literal interpretation. Well, if I take this literal, then those who are handling snakes today and having themselves bit by snakes, dancing and doing a jig with a rattlesnake or with a copperhead, well, maybe they're in more alignment with Jesus than maybe you and I. I think he's talking here in a figure of speech. The enemies of the gospel are likened to serpents and scorpions. Okay? And how do we tread upon them? Do we take bats and guns in our hands to evangelize the world? No, what is our only weapon that the church has? The sword of the Spirit. And what is that sword of the Spirit? It is the Word of God. Not a bat, not a sword, not a gun. Over all the power of the enemy. Well, who's the enemy by context? Satan and his demonic friends. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this. Now the word this is a pronoun. And it modifies, I believe, the word nothing. and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not. Meaning, he's pointing back to their ability to tread on scorpions and snakes, your ability to conquer the enemy, your ability to silence their mouth by the sword of the Spirit. Okay, notwithstanding in this, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So versus all the crowd with the signs and the wonders and so-called exorcisms and casting out devils and finding devils and demons behind every bush and under every rock, with some people that I've met, they're so paranoid of the devil, they almost make the devil more superior than God himself. What does Jesus say? Don't rejoice in the fact that you think the demons are in subjection to you. And they're only in subjection to you by virtue of my name, not your power. But if you're going to rejoice at all, if you're going to boast and brag in the Lord, you do it because your names are written in the book of life. Then in verses 21 down to verse 22, we have something that you find in Matthew's gospel as well, but here in Luke's version is kind of shortened. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Who's being blinded judiciously at this time in the first century? The religious establishment. The religious aristocracy that is going to eventually charge Jesus with blasphemy, haul him off to Pilate. Pilate, in turn, will play ping pong between Pilate to Herod, Herod back to Pilate, and then Pilate will sentence Jesus to be crucified in exchange for Barabbas to be let loose, a murderer and a thief and a robber. Who's being blinded? Those who should have known better. Those who handled the word of God on a daily basis. The scribes, the lawyers, the Pharisees and Sadducees, the august body of the Sanhedrin. They were supposed to be the spiritual leaders of God's ancient covenant people. They were the pastors. They were the Sabbath school teachers, the rabbis included, had failed their own people. And when the word of life came to them incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ versus coming to him in humility and begging for mercy, they rejected him. And thus they were eventually judiciously blinded and has revealed them unto babes. Who are the babes? Tax collectors, sinners, the harlots, the prostitutes, right? Lowly fishermen. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. So here we see in this particular portion the sovereignty of God the Father and blinding some and enlightening others. And it was based, beloved, on their response. Jesus is the light of the world. The light came to them. And one segment of that first century Judean population rejected the light. They did everything in their power to blacken that light, and therefore they were judged accordingly. Then there were others whose eyes were illuminated and enlightened. And a man like Zacchaeus could say, Lord, I will give everything back to the ones whom I blackballed and stole through extortion and high tax rates. And what did Jesus say? Truly, salvation has come to this house. Like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me this day when thou comest into thy kingdom. Response, thou shalt be with me in paradise today, not tomorrow, today. Verse 22, all things are delivered to me of my Father. So God the Father has delivered all things to the Son. No man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father. The Father knows exactly who God the Son is. And who the Father is, but the Son. So there's a mutual understanding and a mutual love between the Father to the Son and the Son to the Father. And he to whom the Son will reveal him. The sovereignty of God. God must reveal himself to you and I, beloved, because by nature we do not seek after God. By nature we do not stir ourselves up in order to seek him with all of our heart, mind, body, soul, and spirit. And he turned unto his disciples and said privily, or privately, the third part, 23 to 24, blessed are your eyes which see the things that ye see. Because in verse 24, he refers to the old economy. For I tell you that many prophets, that's a reference to the Old Testament, and kings, like Solomon and David, have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And a good cross-reference to this is 1 Peter chapter 1, where it says that the ancient sages looked deeply into the things that they read, trying to understand the ultimate conclusion, but could never see things clearly. Jesus now comes and rolls back the curtain and now fully reveals and exposes the Old Testament in the light of his person and his work in providing and guaranteeing an atonement for the elect of Almighty God. Well, may God's word be blessed.